Okay, so like, have you ever wondered if you could be held responsible for something your employee did, even if you like had no clue?
You mean legally responsible?
Yeah, legally. And like, what if it could even mean like going to jail?
Whoa, that's getting into some serious territory.
Right. It's a pretty intense thought, and it's actually something we're going to dive deep into today.
Sounds kind of scary, but also super interesting.
Totally. We're talking about something called vicarious liability,
Yeah.
and it basically means you can be held accountable for someone else's actions.
It's a big deal in the business world, especially when you're dealing with like regulated industries.
Exactly. To really understand how this works, we're going to take a close look at a landmark case from the Pennsylvania Supreme Court, Commonwealth v. Cachuara.
Ah, Cachuara, a classic case. Even though it's from way back in 1961, it still teaches us a lot about the limits of responsibility.
Yeah, even decades later, it's still super relevant, especially for our listeners who are really into understanding these core legal principles.
For sure, anyone who wants to know how the legal system works in the real world and how it can impact them directly should pay attention to this one.
All right, so to set the scene, we're in Pennsylvania, and there's this guy, John Cotswara, who owns a tavern, JK's Tavern.
Okay, a tavern. So we're already talking about alcohol, which we know is a heavily regulated area.
Exactly. Now, back in 1958, it came out that some of his employees had served alcohol to minors, not once, but on two different occasions.
Uh-oh, that's a big no-no.
Huge no-no, especially back then with those liquor laws. But here's the thing. Mr. Cotswara wasn't even there when it happened, and there's zero evidence that he knew anything about it.
So he's being held responsible for something he might not have even known was going on.
Yeah, that's where things get complicated. Despite his absence and the lack of any evidence that he was involved or even aware, they slopped him with four charges under the Pennsylvania Liquor Code.
Whoa, four charges. That seems a bit much if he wasn't there.
Right. Some of the charges were for, like, permitting minors to frequent the tavern,
Yeah.
selling beer to minors.
Well, at least they'd have to prove he actually sold the beer himself, right?
You'd think so. But
Crikey.
the court actually dismissed that specific charge because there wasn't any evidence to support it.
Okay, so they dropped one charge, but what about the others?
Well, the jury still found him guilty on the remaining three charges.
Seriously, even though he wasn't there.
Yep. And get this, they sentenced him to 3 months in jail, hit him with a $500 fine, and made him pay for all the costs of the prosecution.
Oof, 3 months in jail. That's a hefty consequence for something he supposedly had no part in.
I know, right? You can see why this case became such a big deal. It really raises questions about fairness and how far responsibility can reach.
It definitely seems like a tough situation. So what happened next? Did he appeal?
Absolutely. He took it to the Superior Court of Pennsylvania, but they actually upheld the trial court's decision, both the conviction and the sentence.
So no luck there. Did it end there?
Thankfully, no. The case went all the way up to the Pennsylvania Supreme Court because of the huge legal issues it raised.
Makes sense. It sounds like a case that could set some serious legal precedents.
Exactly. And that's where we get to the heart of the issue. Can a business owner, in this case, someone with a liquor license, be sent to jail for what their employees do illegally, even if they had no knowledge of it?
Yeah, like, does that clash with our basic constitutional rights? Can you be punished for something you didn't do or even know about?
It's a huge question. And that's what the Supreme Court had to wrestle with. It was like this battle between the state's power to regulate things,
Yeah.
like alcohol sales, and the constitutional right to not be punished without being at fault.
A real legal tug of war. So how did they untangle that knot?
Okay, so Justice Cohen wrote the majority opinion, and he made a really important distinction, one that's super relevant for understanding this whole concept of vicarious liability. He said, yeah, you can hold a licensee responsible for what their employees do, but there are limits.
So basically, if you choose to run a business, especially in a tightly regulated industry, you're taking on a certain level of responsibility for making sure things run legally.
Right, it's like a trade-off. You get to sell alcohol, which can be profitable. But that comes with the obligation to ensure your business follows all the rules.
Makes sense. So if someone breaks those rules, even if you didn't know about it, you could still face some consequences.
Exactly. And the court said that fines are definitely a legitimate way to enforce those rules, even if the owner wasn't personally involved.
Okay, so fines might be fair game, but what about jail time? Did the court agree with that?
That's where they drew a hard line. The majority said, nope, you can't throw someone in jail just because their employee messed up, especially if the owner didn't know anything about it.
Ah, so that's where personal culpability really comes into play.
Right. Justice Cohen specifically wrote that liability for true crimes must be based exclusively upon personal causation.
Meaning you can't punish someone with something as serious as jail time unless you can prove they were directly involved or knew what was going on?
Exactly. They said imprisoning someone without that direct link would violate the due process rights guaranteed by the Pennsylvania Constitution.
That's a really important point. So, in simple terms, if you're going to put someone behind bars, you better be able to show they were personally involved in the wrongdoing.
Absolutely. They basically said strict liability, being responsible regardless of intent or knowledge, might be okay for fines, but not for jail time.
So it's like different levels of consequences for different levels of involvement.
Precisely. Now remember, this case was decided by a 4-3 vote. It was close. There were dissenting judges who disagreed with the majority.
Oh, so it wasn't a slam dunk decision? What were their arguments? Why did they think the owner shouldn't be held responsible?
Right. So Justice Musmano, in his dissenting opinion, was adamant that vicarious criminal liability is alien to American law. He basically said the court was overstepping its boundaries by creating a crime that wasn't clearly laid out in the law, especially when it came to punishing someone who had no knowledge of the crime.
So he thought it was fundamentally unfair to hold someone criminally liable for something they didn't personally do.
Exactly. He saw it as a dangerous precedent that could potentially erode our core legal principles.
That's a strong stance. What about the other dissenting judge? You mentioned there were two, right?
Yep. Justice McBride had a slightly different focus. He zeroed in on the actual language of the law, the Pennsylvania Liquor Code. He argued that you couldn't reasonably interpret it to mean that a licensee should be punished for things they didn't consent to or know about. He agreed that someone who directly sold alcohol to a minor should be held responsible, even if they didn't know the person was underage. But he thought extending that liability to the licensee for an employee's actions, especially to the point of imprisonment, was going way too far. He said the law simply didn't authorize that level of punishment.
So it sounds like the dissenting judges were really concerned about protecting individual responsibility and making sure the law was applied fairly.
Absolutely. They saw it as a matter of basic fairness and justice.
Now, the majority obviously saw things differently. What were their key arguments for holding the owner responsible, at least for the fines?
The majority emphasized the unique nature of the liquor industry. They pointed out that alcohol has historically been considered inherently dangerous and has always been subject to a lot of regulations.
Right, because of the potential harm it can cause if it's not controlled.
Exactly. They also looked at the legislature's intent when they created the Pennsylvania Liquor Code. They noticed that the law didn't specifically say the owner had to know about the violation to be held responsible, at least for fines. So they interpreted that to mean the lawmakers intentionally wanted to impose a high level of responsibility on licensees to make sure they ran a tight ship, so to speak.
So because the law didn't explicitly require knowledge, they figured the legislature meant to impose stricter liability in that area?
Right. It's all about how you interpret the law's language and intent.
Makes sense. So basically, it comes down to this balance between the state's need to effectively regulate potentially harmful industries and the individual's right to due process and protection from unfair punishment.
That's it in a nutshell.
And this case, even though it's specifically about liquor laws, has had a ripple effect on how we think about responsibility in other regulated industries, too.
Oh, interesting. So, like, what kind of situations could this apply to today?
Think about, like, environmental regulations. Let's say a factory worker accidentally dumps pollutants into a river. Could the CEO of the company, who was totally unaware of what happened, be held criminally responsible?
That's a tough one.
Right. Katwara suggests that while the company itself might get hit with huge fines, imprisoning the CEO would probably require proving they knew something was up, were involved somehow, or maybe were even negligent.
So the line between fines and jail time is still important, even in different contexts.
Absolutely. It's a crucial distinction that continues to shape legal thinking.
Okay, so let's bring this home for our listeners who are mostly law students. Why is this case, Commonwealth v. Katwara, so important for them?
This case is like a masterclass in understanding some really foundational legal concepts. First, it shows that vicarious liability isn't a one-size-fits-all deal, especially when we're talking about criminal law. The kind of punishment matters a lot.
Right. Fines versus jail time, two very different things.
Exactly. You really need to grasp when someone can be held responsible for someone else's actions, and more importantly, what the limits are, particularly when the consequence could be losing your freedom.
It's not just about whether you're responsible, but also what kind of responsibility you might face.
Precisely. And Cachoeira also shows how crucial it is to understand how to interpret laws. You can see the court dissecting every word of the Pennsylvania Liquor Code, looking at what's there and what's missing, like a specific requirement for knowledge or intent.
Like legal detectives.
Exactly.
Yeah.
This kind of careful analysis is key to figuring out what the lawmakers really intended.
And of course, we can't forget about due process. It's a big part of this case.
Huge. Remember, due process is there to protect us from unfair punishment by the government. Cachoeira really highlights that even though the government has the power to regulate certain industries for the good of the public, those powers aren't unlimited.
It's a balancing act between public safety and individual rights.
Exactly. In regulated industries, you might be accepting some risk of strict liability, like facing fines, just to keep things running smoothly. But when it comes to jail time, the bar is way higher. You usually need to show some real personal wrongdoing.
So let's zoom out and recap what we learned from our deep dive into Commonwealth v. Cachoeira.
We explored this really interesting conflict. The states need to regulate things like alcohol sales versus the fundamental right to not be punished without being personally at fault.
And how that plays out differently for financial penalties compared to imprisonment.
Exactly. The big takeaways for you, our listener, are that vicarious liability exists, particularly in heavily regulated areas, and that means you can be held responsible for what your employees do, and you might even have to pay fines. But the standard for imprisonment is much higher. You usually need to be personally involved or aware of the illegal activity for that to happen.
Yeah, here's something to think about. The court in Cachoeira put a lot of emphasis on how inherently dangerous the liquor industry is. How do you think that same reasoning might apply to other heavily regulated industries today? Like, what about things like environmental regulations or selling other potentially harmful substances? Should the same rules about vicarious liability and the difference between fines and imprisonment apply there too?
Those are some deep questions and there aren't any easy answers. But Cachoeira reminds us that owning a business comes with serious responsibilities to the public. But at the same time, holding someone truly accountable, especially when it comes to serious punishments, requires showing they did something wrong. It's a delicate balance, one that's still being debated and reinterpreted as the legal world evolves.
Lots to ponder. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive.
My pleasure. Always great to unpack these fascinating cases.